Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Today on the dark side of Inside the World of Elizabeth Holmes, how the disgraced Theranos founder styled herself on Steve Jobs, spoke in a fake baritone, told people her husky was a wolf, and captivated old powerful men who invested millions before her entire empire collapsed. We're going to dive deep into the verdict and to the life of Elizabeth Holmes today on the dark side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of...
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are listening to the show, or follow, or whatever it's called in your current app. And if you like the show, become a supporter. A dark sider is what we call them. Go to our website, go to darksidepod.com, or go to Patreon and search Dark Side Of. And $5 a month gets you access to all the episodes, advanced episodes, all of the archive, all of it commercial free, so you can binge away on it anytime you'd like. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the show. And here we are, another big verdict that we've been waiting for coming in. And we're going to take a deeper look into her world as well, and some of the inconsistencies, the weirdness that was going on that may kind of point to there's something not right here.
I have to, full disclosure here, I have to tell you, mm-hmm. I have been, as you know, mm-hmm. Obsessed with this case. Obsessed with this case. Mm-hmm. And I don't exactly know why, because it's not like I'm anybody who's normally obsessed with this sort of thing. But there's just something about her I find interesting, and just the whole... I don't know, because part of it's a con. Then is it a con? I don't know. There's just a lot of nuances to this case that I just find very interesting.
There is. And what I haven't heard yet, maybe it's in this piece that we're going to kind of work our way through from the Daily Mail on today's episode, is the speculation on the time, or what are the possibilities here for the sentencing. Do you know any of that?
Oh, they said that she could get up to 20 years on each count that she was convicted on, and she was convicted on 4. So she could get up to 80 years.
Consecutive or?
Well, that's hard. You don't
know. Yeah, that's interesting.
Until she gets sentenced.
Okay.
Wow. But hell, by then, you know, they're going to find some reason to appeal it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's an interesting case because we'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll get into it as you go.
Let's jump into it here. It will go this, like I said, this article, the story, I thought it was a really interesting read and look at it. It's from the Daily Mail. Elizabeth Holmes, the 37-year-old disgraced founder of Theranos, has been convicted of four fraud charges for deceiving investors of $9 billion and for bilking thousands of patients with inaccurate and false medical reports. Holmes, a Stanford University dropout who founded Theranos in 2003 at age 19, duped thousands of patients with bogus claims her biotech startup company could conduct a full range of medical tests using blood from a simple finger prick. She was convicted of four fraud counts on Monday night and cleared of four others. Jurors were unable to decide verdicts on the three remaining charges she faced, with prosecutors now able to retry Holmes on those counts if they wished to. She was at one point the youngest female billionaire in the United States. Harold is the next Steve Jobs for revolutionizing lab testing with a proprietary blood analysis device nicknamed Edison. Silicon Valley unicorn startup raised $900 million and had more than 800 employees. Her company was more valuable than Uber, Spotify, and Airbnb. With her trademark heavy eyeliner, rimmed eyes, bleached blonde hair, red lipstick, and Steve Jobs-like black turtleneck, Elizabeth Holmes swanned through boardrooms, TED Talks, and investor meetings as a new darling of Silicon Valley. Early investors included powerhouses like Rupert Murdoch, Larry Ellison, Jim Walton, Robert Kraft, and the DeVos family office. Sitting on the board of directors were former Secretaries of State Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, alongside former Secretary of Defense General Jim Mattis, the CEO of Wells Fargo, and CDC Director William Foge. She graced the covers of countless magazines, including Fortune, Bloomberg, Business Week, Forbes, New York Times, Style Magazine, and was named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people of 2015. What nobody knew is that her disruptive technology didn't work. The Edison was touted as a magical mini lab that could process over 240 tests from cholesterol to cancer within 1 hour. Instead, blood tests were often secretly conducted on third-party commercial machines made by Siemens. And unbeknownst to investors and patients, when results did come back from the Edison, they were inconsistent, flawed, or flat-out false. Then it all came crashing down in 2018. The shortcomings of Theranos technology were exposed, and its $10 billion evaluation was worth less than zero overnight. Operations were shut down, and Holmes was charged with 11 counts of fraud. After multiple delays due to the COVID-19 pandemic and Holmes' pregnancy, the trial finally kicked off in August of 2021, revealing a series of bizarre lies and baffling stories about the persona she perpetuated. She is a pathological liar. She wanted to be celebrated as a tech entrepreneur. She wanted to be rich and famous, said Wall Street Journal writer John Carreyrou, who spent years investigating Elizabeth Holmes. From her underlying obsession with Steve Jobs to stories of how Theranos employees chanted "fuck you" in the company-wide meetings, to a trove of steamy texts with COO Sonny Balwani, a fake baritone voice, and the inexplicable insistence that her dog is a wolf. Here is the weird world of Elizabeth Holmes that we're about to dive into tonight on The Dark Side of Thoughts. Thus far, as we kind of touched on the beginnings or the origin story of Elizabeth Holmes.
I just have so many thoughts, or as Elizabeth Holmes would say, I have so many thoughts, because that's kind of how she talks.
I have so many thoughts.
She's just kind of down there.
I talk like this now.
Because I don't know why, like, she would, in fact, when she talks, at the end of most of her sentences, they kind of go up.
Yeah, you're right. I kind of go up at every single thing I say. I never used to talk like this.
I think that I'm fascinated by her because I do think she had an idea. And if it had worked, it probably could have revolutionized things. You could, with one drop of blood, a pinprick of blood, you could run 240 tests, which seems weird to me. Like, you could run that many tests on one drop of blood, but somehow you could do that. And she was really good at telling, like, I think maybe the idea was legit and she really thought it was doable. And so to me, there's nothing illegal about that.
What's
you
it?
Have a great idea.
Yeah.
You, I mean, look at the Steve Jobs or the people who started any startup company, Uber. You know, it's a great idea. We're going to get people to drive their own cars and, you know, we'll make money off of that. And so that's what was so fascinating about this whole thing was the fact that she started the company and the company failed didn't make her a criminal. That happens every day. It's what happens. Like, how did you raise the money? And, you know, were you not truthful in what you were telling people? Did you know that the equipment wasn't working?
Mm-hmm.
All those things. And it's really interesting because I've been following a podcast like Faithful. Even today, I'm like, wait a minute. They had the final episode this week. I totally forgot about it. I've been busy. And it's fascinating. So they... You know, so I've been week by week by week listening to this deep dive into the trial. And it was really interesting because even when she was on stand, and she was on the stand for a long time, like something stupid, like 40 hours. I don't know if it was that, but it was a long time. But like they would ask her something and she would never say no or yes. It would be, I don't remember that. Or that's not how I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't believe that's how it happened. But she never came out. Very, very infrequently did she ever give a yes or a no. It would be like, that's not how I remember it. So it seemed very calculated, almost like maybe if you say it like that, that's not exactly lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everything was like that. That's not how I remembered it.
Yeah.
So that seems kind of calculated. But even the jurors said that she was charming. Like they all found her charming. Everybody seems to find her charming.
And that's kind of, I think that's how they can get away with some of the things that they get away with. So they just, you know, that's kind of the path that they tread. I think it's like once you, you know, discover, oh, I can push the envelope this far, you know, people kind of keep going and going and going.
I think part of the problem with her as well is that it was a lot of money, substantial amount of money. But at the same time, she's getting this massive attention and becoming the it girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she kind of got wrapped up in being that person because people were idolizing her. You know, she was the next Steve Jobs and that's exactly who she wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has something to do with it. And I mean, imagine like, I'm assuming her family had some money. I don't know. But now all of a sudden to be valued at like, be a billionaire.
Yeah.
You know, and she's more than likely living like a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
You get caught up in that.
Sure.
And so maybe had it not gotten so big so fast, because I highly doubt she expected that.
Yeah.
At the beginning, but I got a feeling at some point in it, she saw that as a possibility.
Yeah.
And then that was the driving factor.
Starts to do you think she was kind of believing her own myth?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. I do think she's charming and all of those things. But, you know, it's, you know, when everybody around you is just idolizing you and you're on the cover of magazines and you're speaking at big conferences as the keynote speaker.
And you're 19.
Yeah. I mean, well, she started when she was 19. Yeah. So maybe when the big stuff was happening, she's like 25.
Ooh.
She's 25. And so, yeah, how can you not get wrapped up in that?
Sure.
And so I think that was a lot of it. I don't think that when she started the company, that she started it to defraud people. I really, really, really don't.
Sure.
I really thought that. I think that she had an idea that, you know, they thought they could do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they figured out that they couldn't. And that's where they started getting in some trouble.
Yeah.
But it's just, but I think, you know, money and power, that's what happens.
I agree. Get
caught up.
It's amazing what can happen. Let's continue into the story here. According to former employees, Elizabeth Holmes saw herself as the female version of Apple CEO Steve Jobs. She frequently referred to Theranos blood testing systems as the iPod of healthcare and adopted his signature style of black turtlenecks in line with dressing my life to be able to give away every bit of energy I have to this. I have a closet that has a very large number of the exact same clothes, and every single day I put the exact same thing on, she told Ken Uletta of The New Yorker in 2014. When he pointed out that Jobs said the same thing, she laughed and objected. He wore jeans. I'm a tremendous admirer of what Steve Jobs did, she continued. I think he was a genius, but I do have to disclose that I've been in black turtlenecks since I was 7. Like Jobs, Holmes was a vegan who hewed to a strict green juice diet that consisted of cucumber, parsley, kale, spinach, romaine lettuce, and celery. She decorated her Theranos office with Lee Carbister black leather chairs, which were a favorite of Jobs, and began to emulate his obsession with secrecy once her star power began to rise. In 2019, she also revealed Holmes had claimed her husky, Balto, was actually a wolf, in an apparent bid to further enhance her powerful image. Much like the late Apple CEO, who leased a new Mercedes every 6 months to avoid having license plates, Holmes hired a security detail to drive her around in a black Audi sedan without plates. To her security detail, Holmes was known as Eagle One, while her lover and Theranos COO, Sonny Balwani, was known as Eagle Two. According to his book, Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in the Silicon Valley Startup, John Carreyrou details how Holmes borrowed from the management techniques that were described in Walter Isaacson's biography of Steve Jobs. Theranos employees said they could pinpoint which chapter she was on based on which periods of Jobs' career she was impersonating. In the HBO documentary, The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley, Roger Parloff, a journalist who profiled Holmes for Fortune magazine, described her obsession with Steve Jobs as hero worship. During the trial, dozens of stream of consciousness-like writings were released as evidence. According to leaked documents obtained by CNBC, one note to self in April 2015 contained three telling words: becoming Steve Jobs. According to former co-workers and acquaintances, Holmes purposefully lowered her voice to an impossibly deep back-of-throat baritone in order to project gravitas in a male-dominated tech industry. The fake contralto with the vague California affectation and a touch of robot became one of Holmes' trademarks. And Ariola, a former Theranos employee, told the Dropout podcasts that occasionally Holmes fell out of character while she was drinking and exposed her real higher pitched voice. It was maybe at one of the company's parties and maybe she had too much to drink or whatnot, but she fell out of character and exposed that she was not necessarily her true voice, explained Ariola. Maybe she needed to be more convincing to project a persona with a room among male VCs. I'm not really quite sure. Writer and reporter John Carreyrou said that Holmes accidentally spoke in her normal voice at the end of a long meeting with a new sophomore employee in 2011. He told 60 Minutes it was late in the day and they were finishing up the meeting, and she sort of expressed her excitement that she had recently joined. As she got up, she forgot to put on the baritone and slipped back into a more natural-sounding young woman's voice, which took the new staffer by surprise. Holmes' family members came to her defense and told TMZ that her deep voice is authentic and most people in her family have lower voices, including her grandmother. So there you go.
It's just, and I think that, like, and there's, and maybe we'll get into it, but this Sonny Balwani, I think he did influence her. He was older. And there's some exchanges between them about how she presents herself and So I do think he had some influence on her mm-hmm. in some ways. And I think the voice thing might have been reflected in that. But everybody who knew her for a long time, that's what's weird to me. It's like, okay, you knew people before you started talking way down there. And which is weird for me because it's not that much deeper than my regular voice. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, you know, you have inflections and things, and hers is really kind of down here the whole time she's talking.
Yeah.
And it goes up a little bit at the end, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's such a weird thing to take on. Like, I mean, I get, like, I don't want to be in a meeting with the board of directors and I'm like, oh my God, you guys, like, if we could only get that Edison device to work. Like, you can't really be the CEO and talk like that in front of Henry Kissinger. So I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But to go the opposite way and do an affected voice your whole life?
Yeah.
It's so strange.
It's very strange.
They take out that weird speak that young girls do and just talk like a regular human.
Mm-hmm.
But dropping your voice into, which is, I mean, I have a low voice, so I've never thought about dropping my voice any lower because that would be pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's so interesting.
Well, and it really shows a lack, I mean, as much self-awareness as one has to have to kind of navigate that world as well as she did, there's also like, there's blind spots there that others, like the voice thing, like, how did she not like look at a videotape of herself and go, oh shit, like I don't want to do that because it looks ridiculous. There's like certain things where it's like, how did you not see that? How did you not notice that this is kind of a dead giveaway? There's something not quite right.
And I really don't think she was wearing black turtlenecks since she was 7.
Yeah.
She probably had a black turtleneck. We all did. But obviously she wore them because Steve Jobs wore them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like, oh, here's Steve Jobs and coincidence. I dress just like him, except he wears blue jeans and I guess I wear black slacks.
Well, even some of the press photos.
Although I love the idea of wearing the same outfit every day. I should start that shit because then you don't have to worry about it.
I
just go get the same outfit every day. Mm-hmm. I wish I had the balls to do that. I think it's a great idea.
There's some photos of her where it's like they emulate Steve Jobs in other photos where there's like Steve Jobs is holding up an iPhone the way he's holding it with his fingers. There's one where she's holding a pill the exact same way, same turtleneck. It's like she planned these things out in the mirror at home going, I'm going to present it like this when they take the pictures because it looks just
exactly
like that. It's this
so
weird
that's
obsession
where the whole Steve Jobs thing is where, okay, as a 19-year-old, she has a great idea. She wants to do this pinprick blood thing, 250 tests.
Yeah.
Get that. But then it makes you kind of think, was that legit? Or did she just want to be famous like Steve Jobs and thought if she came up with a really great idea? You know, but you have to be smart. You know, you can't do what she did and be an idiot. You know, you have to at least start this company going in that direction. And I mean, she did, mm-hmm. which is amazing. I think Sonny Belwani helped her a lot. And he had a lot of money. He's loaded.
Yeah.
So I think he definitely got her going. But, you know, they raised $1 zillion off of, you know, from like really, really well-known people who should have known better.
Yeah.
But I also think in that whole world of tech, there's people who are always looking for the next Steve Jobs. They're always mm-hmm. looking for the next Uber, the next big thing.
And the thing is, though, like that's cool. And they will come about, but they don't come about by literally emulating the look of the previous one.
That's what I think is so weird. It's like if somebody came to me and they wanted me to get in their network marketing thing, whatever they're selling.
Yeah.
Like I'm selling soap and it's the best soap ever and you can come in under me. And I'm like, but you look just like Steve Jobs. Like you act just like Steve Jobs. It's weird. Or you are trying to be Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obvious. You speak like Beyonce. You named your child after Blue Ivy. You know, it's like, I think that's weird. Yeah. When you think she's trying so hard to be like Steve Jobs, I can't 100% believe her.
Yeah, it just seems like a big, big red flag. Let's continue on with the story. Holmes was 18 when she met 37-year-old Rami Sunny Belwani, went on a Chinese language immersion trip in 2002. The pair quietly started dating for 12 years before their romance fizzled in 2016. One former employee described Sunny Belwani as a Mark Cuban character who made a lot of money being in the right place at the right time during the 90s dot-com bubble. Without having any experience in medicine, he was hired at Theranos in 2009 to focus on e-commerce, but was soon made president and chief operating officer. Belwani, like many others in Holmes' circle, was convinced she was a type of iconic inventor who comes along once in a lifetime. The couple did not disclose their relationship to investors, and despite great efforts to keep it under wraps, their romance became obvious to colleagues around them. They certainly would leave together. They come in at the same time. They're always talking to each other, offline, online, in meetings, outside of meetings. They were very close. Holmes' former executive assistant, Paige Williams, told the FBI that she only learned the Theranos founder lived with Belwani after visiting the home the couple shared. The couple purchased a 5-bedroom, 7-bathroom house in the Tony suburb of Arthelon in 2013. They created a limited liability corporation to purchase the $9 million residence, which named HMFR. According to the court document, those initials stood for a prayer in Arabic that the couple often recited. The prayer translates to, "This too is my God's glory," explains Holmes. Nearly 600 pages of private text messages were presented during the fraud trial, which revealed their lavish lifestyle. Like planning trips to Las Vegas that included reservations at 3-star Michelin restaurants and $1,000 hotels. Other texts ranged from the mundane business meetings, staff attendance, internal complaints, flight details, updates on their pet fish, to romantic love overtures. "This is our year," wrote Holmes. "We can never forget it, Tiger." You gotta love that. "We can never forget it, Tiger. For our kids, never forget who we are." Well, she did have it. Is she still pregnant, or does she have the kid?
No, she had the kid.
And this is
the kid's not his, though.
Oh, it's not his.
No.
Oh, shit. Okay.
No, they broke up, and she's with a new guy, okay, who also, I believe, has a lot of money.
Go figure. Other texts ranged from mundane business meetings, staff attend. Read them. Another thread from May 2015, Holmes said, "You are breeze in desert for me, my water, my ocean. Meant to be only together, Tiger," she added. "Madly in love with you and your strength." Belwani's texts were equally effusive. "Infinite love for you in every breath," he wrote in April 2016. The romance started to sour in 2015 when problems became to arise at Theranos. In later texts, the pair fretted over FDA regulations and discussed making the company less about healthcare and 100% tech. "I know you are angry in your way and upset with me for not doing everything you wanted me to do," texted Belwani before warning her about challenges ahead. "You need me." And by the way, they're also like kind of speaking like 17-year-olds. Like the letter U instead of Y-O-U. I mean, I know it's like kind of shorthand, but
it's like tech speak.
But this is like on paper. So it's like, what? Yeah, I don't know. When you're an adult, I think it's time to kind of, you know,
it doesn't take that much longer to go Y-O-U.
Type in words. I don't know. Just a thought. During her trial, Holmes tearfully testified that Belwani sexually and emotionally abused her. "He would force me to have sex with him when I didn't want to because he would say that he wanted me to know he still loved me," said Holmes in court. She told the court that the Pakistan-born multimillionaire controlled what she ate, how she lived, and often undermined her confidence in running the company. She alleged that he dictated the clothes she wore and frequently forced her to follow a strict daily prayer routine and adhere to a punishing diet consisting of green juice that kept her pure. Her defense pointed to a text from Belwani that said, "I have molded you." They are released evidence in the form of handwritten notes that were instructions on how to become the new Elizabeth. The three pages of scrawlings outline how Holmes should start her day, beginning with forcing herself out of bed and spending 30 minutes, never a minute less, writing down the day's goals. "I'll spend 20% of my time, 80% on things that are important to cash flow, short-term cash flow, long-term strategy, and we'll spend 20% on urgent and non-important stuff," the note says. The directives also told her how to treat her employees. "I will always give crisp, clean goals to my subordinates, even if they don't like it, especially if they don't like it," the note said. "I will not assume that people will do the right or noble thing. They are not motivated by what I'm motivated by," continued, bizarrely adding, "don't feed pasta and pesto to fish." That's it. Who doesn't say that every now and then?
Did that need to be said?
But they do like Alfredo. I do have to say that. I feed my fish Alfredo all the time. They fucking love it.
Yeah, because it really looks great in the fish tank.
It looks a little weird, you know. People are like, what were you looking at when you were by the fish tank? Like, what the hell is that in there? There's like these white, and it's like, no.
Pesto just looks like some shit that's growing on the leaves.
Exactly, yeah.
But Alfredo.
Alfredo looks like you might have, you know, yeah, on the fish. Bring the fish tank over here.
I'm not commenting.
I want to finish on the fish. You want to what? On the fish. Bring me the fish.
Here's the pesto.
What do you mean the fish? I'm right here. The fish. The guppy tank. Bring it over. Yeah. Oh, my God. There's probably a fucking fetish for it. You know, there probably is.
Oh, my God. I hadn't even thought about that, but you're probably right.
It's something I'm never going to fucking Google out of curiosity.
No.
We're going to list what you get on there. I don't know. I mean, so I do not know. What is your thoughts here on the allegations of abuse and such? Because what we just heard there seemed more like business advice than it did abuse.
They the prosecution really did address that well, I thought, in the trial.
Okay.
Because, you know, you could say he was making me get up at 4 o'clock and doing 30 minutes of positive thinking or whatever and writing down my goals for the day. And then he forced me to have sex. He did all this. She was CEO of the company, and she made a lot of CEO type of decisions, including, I do believe, she fired him at one point. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, that could be the case, but you were CEO of the company. The buck stopped with her.
Yeah.
So you can say, well, the COO made me do all those things, but your name is the head of the company. So I always thought that was a weird defense, even if it was true.
Well,
okay, it's hard to prove.
Okay, but what are we arguing? I mean, if this was an abusive relationship, sure, okay. But what does that have to do with her?
Because he was so controlling over her.
That she felt she had to lie?
Yeah. He was kind of forcing her hand at things.
Yeah.
You know, obviously things that she wouldn't have done. But she was so intimidated and controlled by him that she did things that she, you know, wouldn't have done.
I don't think this is one I buy in face value at all.
And so, yeah, the prosecution did a really good job of addressing that part because, there was a lot of examples of if that was the case, then why were you able to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Why were you able to do that?
It feels like they were trying to make her feel like they look like the victim in like kind of a last ditch effort.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
Okay.
Because they needed a defense.
Yeah.
You know, and the defense would be what else?
Yeah.
I mean, what would be the defense? Is the defense we didn't know any better? Is the defense, whoops, they didn't really have a good defense. And so I think they did that to deflect everything onto him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to trial too.
Okay.
And I will follow that one just as closely as I followed this one.
Yeah.
Because for some odd reason, I'm fascinated.
I mean, these are some, not good allegations to make against somebody. I mean, if they're not true, if she was literally, making up and saying, sexually abused me and that, if that's not true, I mean, couldn't he do it?
Saying, and it could be true.
It could be.
It doesn't mean that one thing's.
Yeah. But if it's not,
mean that other things false.
But if it's not, he would have a countersuit against her, wouldn't he? I mean, to say or sue her for defamation.
I would think so.
If it's not, I don't know. I'm not saying it is or isn't. There's so many lies that she said that it's hard to know.
There's so much more to the trial, and I think they realized as they were going through this that.
Yeah.
It wasn't maybe a super good defense, and I don't think they hammered it home quite as hard as they were planning on.
Yeah.
Because I think they saw it wasn't really getting anywhere.
Sure.
Because the defense had some really good points.
Yeah.
Like, if he was, you were so intimidated by him, why were you able to make this decision?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it came down to, like I said before, just because you had a company that failed doesn't mean that you are criminally responsible. Companies fail every freaking day.
Sure.
But it's, did you lie to people to get investment from mm-hmm. them? And even that in itself isn't necessarily a crime. That's why it was really complicated to me. And I really didn't know how this was going to turn out. And I think there was 12 counts against her, and she was only guilty on 4.
Mm-hmm.
But because if your company is failing, you might need more capital to come into your company to help it succeed. Because
mm-hmm.
maybe that influx of money would help your company take off. Maybe that's what you need. You need some more money to build that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, they never really had the technology that they said it was based on.
Yeah.
So then they're raising money saying this company's doing something it's not doing and lying that major companies like Pfizer and other companies like that, they put their logo on things that they sent out to investors.
I know.
And potential investors. Now, you guys have some balls to do that. And the prosecution, I thought, really did prove that case, that she was responsible for that. It wasn't Sunny Balwani. She did that.
Yeah.
So, maybe he did horrible things to you, but that was your idea. You okayed that, right? And then she would be like, that's not how I remember it. Or the way I remember it was very... It was a complicated case.
No, I mean it certainly is. Let's continue on here with some more of the antics of her. According to where are we at here? The Theranos began to collapse in 2017. Holmes jetted off on a first class flight across the U.S. to purchase a 9-week-old Siberian Husky from a breeder. She named the gray and black puppy Balto, after the famous sled dog who made the perilous 600-mile journey across Alaska to bring medicine to the diphtheria-ravaged village in 1925. Despite the chaos, Holmes believed that Theranos could still be saved and that Balto would lift employees' spirits and provide an unconventional plan for redemption. According to Vanity Fair, Balto never left home side. Every day, one of her two drivers, along with two security personnel and two assistants, would pick up Holmes and Balto from their Los Altos mega mansion before work. Balto terrorized staff by defecating and urinating all over the office, Despite scientists warning that his hair and excrement might contaminate samples, assistants were left cleaning up his messes. Holmes decided that Balto was a wolf after discovering that Siberian husky genomes evolved from wolves. In meetings and at cafes, whenever anyone stopped to pet her dog and ask his breed, Holmes matter-of-factly replied, "He's a wolf," reported Vanity Fair. She apparently repeats the unsubstantiated claim to this day. According to a court filing before the trial, Holmes and Belwani would lead profane chants and company meetings against rival companies and detractors in cringeworthy leaked footage featured in the 2019 HBO doc Out for Blood. Holmes is seen dancing to MC Hammer's Can't Touch This in a staff-wide celebration over FDA approval of a rarely used herpes test. A small victory made them feel uncomfortable. At one point during the celebration, Belwani took over the mic to get his employees to shout a collective "fuck you" as a message to their rival company, Quest Diagnostics, who said they were attacking the work which you are doing. Holmes continued rivalries by jumping in a children's bouncy house. Another claim states that Theranos targeted Wall Street Journal reporter John Carreyrou for writing a series of articles criticizing Holmes. A company-wide email instructed all lab coat technicians, programmers, and administrative staff to meet in the cafeteria. Holmes addressed her employees in an impassioned speech about how they were changing the world. But before Belwani led a rocking chant that yelled, "Fuck you, Carreyrou," until the entire staff fervently cried out, "Fuck you, Carreyrou." Not only that, employees programmed a Space Invader-style video game in which players would shoot a little picture of Carreyrou's head. The key to Holmes' success and ability to raise hundreds of millions of dollars in venture capital was that she surrounded herself with well-respected men who bolstered her credibility. We'll get to that part next. Thoughts on that?
Well, as far as the well-respected men part, I kind of think that here she is. She's well-spoken, but she's cute. And she's got, you know, that thing about her that people like. And that you can get a 60-something-year-old man to be like, she's cute. Mm-hmm. And she seems smart. And what a great company. I don't know. Is it a coincidence that a whole bunch of men got behind her? No.
No.
You know, I see how you could do it. I mean, if you were cute and smart and all that stuff.
Sure.
But I just think like the whole, like, getting your employees to shout shit like that. Like, what work environment does that? Like, you're the COO.
Oh, they're like trying to be easy to me. You know, I think there's a lot of that in Silicon Valley where it's a lot
aren't
of
we funny yeah. and cool.
Yeah, we're breaking the, you know, the mold or whatever.
I just think it's so weird.
That, I should say this is interesting because I was watching a piece. I think it was on Sunday morning where they were talking about this case, and maybe it was 60 Minutes, one of the two. And the fact that this sort of concept. It wasn't the only one. In fact, there are some that are getting very close to being ready to go to market with what basically she was trying to do. Others have done or are very, very close to having a very similar type machine that does these sort of things. So like it wasn't like a completely impossible idea. But it was just ahead of its time. And she was sitting there trying to push the goalposts and lying and lying and lying. And then eventually got caught before anything ever got done to be where it should. But
I don't even know, to be honest, that she was pushing the goalpost. They weren't getting to the goalpost.
Yeah, maybe that's the word.
And she was just saying, fine, figure it out.
Yeah.
And they're bringing in those other devices. Her device wasn't working, so they're bringing in other testing equipment.
Yeah, from Siemens.
By other companies. So then when anybody would ask about what they're doing, she would be like, it's proprietary. Mm-hmm. Everything was proprietary. And we can't We can't hand out those secrets. We can't tell you because everything's proprietary. So I'm like, what a great ruse if you can't share it because of the technology is proprietary.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we would love to tell you, but, you know. So I don't even know that there is a goalpost to move ever.
Yeah, I think they
had the idea of a goalpost.
It's out there, but these damn things were in Walgreens in select areas.
But they weren't. And so
yeah.
They were doing the testing in the Walgreens.
People thought they were.
And people are like giving their drop of blood.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
Yeah.
There were also, you hear this over and over and over, because I never thought about when you get blood drawn out of your vein, it's a venous draw, which I did, venous draw, that's what they call it. And so a lot of people were getting their blood drawn just like regular, and it was being tested just like they bought those devices.
Yeah.
So they're not testing it on their equipment at all.
No.
And so none of their equipment was ever in a Walgreens, and it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, how do you feel if you're a Walgreens and you bought into that shit?
And you got posters all over the store saying this is what you're doing and you're not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, people would know. It's like, that wasn't a pinprick of blood. You took it out of my vein.
Yeah. And it's not a 60-minute test either, because they...
And then some of them were like... It was sad, like, but it was interesting because in some of those people testified in the trial that they were given incorrect results. Like one woman was told that she was no longer pregnant and she'd been trying to be pregnant for a long time and had several miscarriages and she was pregnant. And here this poor woman thought that she had lost the baby again.
Yeah.
Or another woman was told she had AIDS and she didn't have AIDS. Now, they found that... They all of those counts, she was found innocent. She was not found guilty on those counts.
How is that? Because that's the ones they actually tried to do with their machine.
Well, they didn't try to do it with their machine. It was basically like things like that can go wrong. You know, it was like, I haven't really, really, really heard the exact reasoning behind why they found them innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Her innocent on those charges, but maybe like those people weren't harmed to the extent that other people, I don't know. I'll do a little digging on that.
According to unsealed documents from several lawsuits brought against Theranos, other investors included founders of Walmart, who gave $150 million, Rupert Murdoch, who invested $125, and the DeVos family, who put in $100 million, in addition to the scions of the Cox Telecommunications family, who lost a cool $100 million. But there was also the Mexican food tycoon Carlos Slim, Robert Kraft, and the Oppenheimer family, who once owned De Beer Diamonds. Holmes insulated herself with the most authoritative board of directors on the planet and included former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, as well as former Secretary of State Labor and Treasury George Shultz. It also included two former Secretaries of Defense, Bill Perry and James Mad Dog Mattis, in addition to former Senators Sam Nunn and Bill Fist, retired Navy Admiral Gary Roughhead, to name a few. New York journalist Ken Aletta said they were talking about her as if she was Beethoven, as if she were this rare creature that maybe one in a century or two could come along and really change the world. When you asked Kissinger to describe Holmes, the Secretary of State called her an excellent businesswoman. He added, "You have to remember, she has a sort of ethereal quality. She's like a member of a monastic order." His only complaint were the 4-hour-long board meetings, which he called a human rights violation. General Mattis also gushed about Holmes before he left his post at Theranos to be appointed as Trump's Secretary of Defense. He told Aletta that she had integrity with technical and scientific confidence, that she was focused on human rights in the most classical of senses. Prosecutors allege that one of the many ways Holmes scammed investors was by misleading them to believe Theranos had military contracts. She claimed that Edison devices were being used on the battlefield in Afghanistan and in the medical evaluation helicopters. Among her many deceptions were also phony endorsements by Jim Mattis that was featured prominently in promotional material on the website. In a recent trial, the disillusioned four-star general said, "There just came a point when I didn't know what to believe about Theranos anymore." After his visit to Theranos facility in 2015, the Vice President Joe Biden, a laboratory of the future is what he called it, he continued, "You can see what innovations is all about just walking through this facility. But there was a problem with the Vice President's visit that was completely fake," explained former Theranos Chief Design Architect Anna Arletta to ABC News. "What Biden saw that day was completely rigged. They cleared out a room, slapped on a fresh coat of paint, and stocked it with every Edison device they could find." In addition to her uncanny voice, in 2019, the HBO expose also left the internet baffled by a suggestion that Elizabeth Holmes doesn't blink her eyes. Cheryl Kaffner, a former receptionist, told the documentary about her first job interview with Holmes, "I know this seems very odd, but my first impression of her is she doesn't blink," she said. "She was very intense." Jim Carrey echoed the same observation in his book. "The way she trained her big blue eyes on you without blinking made you feel like the center of the world. It's almost hypnotic." Dave Filati's an engineer who also interviewed for a job, recalled how the process was different than other tech companies in the area. "They didn't tell me near as much about what they were doing, and she never blinked during the interview." Much like how she retained her voice to be lower, some experts have speculated that creating intense eye contact is a conscious form of mind control that she had practiced. It's just, there's so many things that this, you know, this woman did that seemed to work for the time, but they're just, it's creepy.
It's creepy, and lots of people said that about her not blinking her eyes.
Yeah.
She had to practice that.
I know you could train yourself to do that. I thought that was just like a bodily function. Like, I'm not going to shit for a week. No.
I bet you could practice it. And then you could figure out a way to kind of just turn your head and they don't notice it.
God.
I don't know. I think, but she had to. Because lots of people said that about her.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's people with blinders on. They weren't seeing. It was like they were so dazzled by what was in front of them, by her talking so passionately about this device, that it must be real. And it wasn't. They never did have the technology to do what she said they were doing.
Well, I think it's something that the public may not be as aware of as they should be. When you have people like a vice president, or you have these people on some of these boards and such, they don't necessarily know anything about what the fuck this company is doing. A lot of them are there in spirit. They get paid
money
to be there. They're getting stock. They're getting this. They're getting that. And it's more so, look at me. Look at the prestigious things that I'm involved in. But and then when the press comes to them, because you're on the board, they're of course they say a lot of bullshitty fluff. That's what you do half the time. When you're endorsing something, it's just like, you're not going to say like, "Well, like this is questionable at best over here." It's like, "Oh, she's got so much vision," and they're speaking to what they see, the same thing everybody else sees. This person who does come across as a very charismatic, knowledgeable human being, you're just backing that up. But the thing is, in many, many cases, nothing bad comes of that, because things come along, things go along, and, you know, maybe there's some rough patches here and there, but nothing usually crashes and burns quite as bad as this. But you sat there and you endorsed it over and over, and then it's like, oh, shit. Like,
and it went on for a while, though.
Yeah, yeah, and they did. And, I mean, but the thing is, it's like, you know, I'm not trying to stick up for Joe Biden or anything, but it's like, he probably didn't know shit about that company. They toured him around the building,
yeah,
and they said, "Look at this, look at that. What do you think of Elizabeth Holmes?" "Well, based on what I'm seeing, she's a very knowledgeable blah, 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 blah." That's what you're going to do.
And, you know, Henry Kissinger is on her board of directors. And so that kind of taints how you look at it.
Yeah.
Because obviously these powerful men, all men, are on her board of directors. They must know what they're doing. They've taken the deep dive. It's almost like everybody thought everybody else
knew
Yeah.
Something. Well, I mean, there's so much.
Henry Kissinger wouldn't be on this board if this wasn't legit.
And there's so much weight that gets put on, well, this person said it's good. And it's so easy. And so the public is unaware of just how many cases, if you have clout, if you have, a strong brand name, there's much money to be made by that. And then somebody's going to, they'll get behind all sorts of shit. And it's like, I mean, and some people, I mean, I was just watching the other day, I was at having lunch somewhere, and I forgot who it was, but it was some very well-respected politician from several years ago. And he's, I think plugging like some sort of back brace or something. It's like, this has changed my, I'm like, my God. But I'm sure there's a fat check there for him too.
Exactly. He was making money.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what a lot of these boards are, is that. And then we think, oh, they're so smart people. Yeah, they are smart people, but they're doing it for fucking money.
There was a couple people though who are investors, and I don't remember his name. It wasn't one I recognized, but he really, like, he testified. And he asked all the right questions, and he, if people pushed too hard, she would push back on him. But it was weird because in the trial, they're basically blaming the investors for not doing their due diligence.
Yeah.
So you could do your due diligence and try to get all this information that she's not willing to give you.
Yeah, I mean, what would
you, proprietary.
Like hire spies to go into the building?
It's your fault because you didn't find it.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of blaming going on with people. And some of that, absolutely, you took the risk. I believe that. Like, people invest money every day and lose a shit ton because you invested in the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here. But if you invested the money on the premise of this, when that was all bullshit and she lied, and that was fraud. So that's what made it so interesting.
Yeah.
Because, so that's the counts, the four that she was found guilty of were fraud on investors.
Well, it shall be
fraud against investors. I don't know the correct term.
It shall be interesting to see what sort of sentencing eventually does come down for Ms. Holmes, or if it's appealed or this or that.
It'll be
a lot of possibilities there.
And the Sonny Balwani trial, I think, will be very interesting.
When does that one start? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't heard a date.
No. I'm sure we'll have more on this as time progresses. The story's not done yet. That's going to wrap up this episode of Dark Side Of. Thank you guys for listening, and we greatly appreciate it. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And if you would support the show, become a Dark Sider, darksidepod.com, or go to patreon.com and click Become a Dark Sider, patreon.com and click Dark Side Of, search Dark Side Of, and you can become a Dark Sider that way as well. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening. Dark Side Of.
This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment.
The audio transmitter also allows for JBL Spatial 360 sound that takes any audio and turns it into a 360 immersive experience.
What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.